Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be back in the studio doing Terrorize Bible Study, Tell It Well, which is the first seven chapters of Acts. And her next book is going to be the 8 through 12.
Right.
And that is still in the works. So be in prayer for that, for her, that it gets all done in
time.
If you have an opportunity to get the workbook, you can get it at
terrorize.com.
And last week we were talking about, I think we were ending, you have to help me with that because my brain is
we went to sleep with Stephen.
My brain went to sleep.
We ended last week. We were talking about the fact how peacefully Stephen went to sleep. But we were examining this so you can catch up and know where we're at. We're talking about Stephen's address to the Sanhedrin as they ask him based on the accusations that have been made. And we were talking actually about the will and how the crowd that there was a will, and God will not, he's a gentleman. He will not interfere with our will. He allows us to have a free will. And I've been praying and reflecting on that particular subject because it's a cliche in Christendom. We will say, God, not, we will pray it, but there is no heart behind it. Not my will, God, but your will be done. We can have that just freely flow. We can look at each other and somebody will be talking, will say, oh, you know, you just need to pray, not my will, but God's will be done, you know, or we'll pray it over somebody, you know, oh God, you know, we want healing, but what your will is, and we really don't mean it. And I've been really asking God, why do we treat so many of biblical truths in Christianity as cliches? We have so inundated the spouting of these biblical truths in such a way that they're no longer truth. It's just a lip service, but it's not from the head to the heart. It's not making connection. And one of the things that what happened is that as they came after Stephen, they in their wills chose to go after him and kill him. And God was not going to interrupt their free will. And I just wanted to put it out there. I was sharing this recently. Do you know you can give your free will back to God? It is a gift. Just as salvation is a gift, it's a gift from God. The fact that he loves us so much that he gives us our own free will, that a completely surrendered heart will say, okay, Lord, you've given me this gift to make my own choices, a free will. I'm going to give my free will back to you. And when we are willing to give our free will back to God, that's when we will see our life choices align up to his will, to his plan that we've been talking about, and how his revelation will be made known to us. And so that's just an extra. I wanted to come up and share that part because it's something that's on my heart. God's working in me.
Yeah, that's
it's pretty deep. And thinking on it and getting outside of the cliche of that concept. Now, I wanted us to focus this last time on circumcision of the heart, because that really is the expression of getting the heart, the free will back to God, taking it and getting
circumcision, meaning like cutting it off.
Yeah, but we're going to read some passages as to what this means. And I found these four points through Adam Clark commentary, and he summed it up in such a profound way that it was so simple that I wanted us to hear it from him. He says that there are four ways that a human heart is uncircumcised. Okay. In the ears, the lips, the heart, and the flesh. Now, Sabrina, would you read for us Acts 7? I think you said it was verse 8. Mm-hmm. Read the whole verse about what it says about Abraham, the covenant and circumcision that Stephen's proclaiming.
Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of 12 patriarchs.
Okay, now what I want you to understand is this is talking about a covenant relationship. That's what it's referring to, a covenant relationship that's happened between Abraham and his offspring with God. And Stephen shows them and reminding them of their history. We were given a covenant relationship with God that came through circumcision, and it passed down through our fathers, and that is our heritage. That is our lineage. A circumcision, so you'll know, is a sign of agreement or covenant between God and Abraham and the entire nation of Israel. And in his speech, Stephen emphasizes that God always kept his side of the agreement, but Israel continued to break it. And that's what he was revealing as he was going through the history and showing God's plan, how it has blessings and struggles. And we went through all those different aspects through the last few weeks. What I want us to do is I want us to look at the four ways that our hearts today can be uncircumcised and what we need to do to get them circumcised, to be a part of that heritage. Sabrina, open up Jeremiah 6:10, and we're going to look at how the ears can be uncircumcised. Do you remember how in the passage when it says that Stephen was proclaiming to them, and then he looked up and he says, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, and then the scripture says, and their ears were, they covered their ears. One commentator said that it's as if their ears were waxed grossly. It's like as they stopped up their ears so much that they like going la, 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 so they can't hear what he's saying. Okay, so let's read what it says in Jeremiah 6:10.
To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so to have uncircumcised ears is to stop our ears to God. So that when we hear a biblical truth, when somebody speaks a biblical truth to us, when we read a biblical truth, we hear it on the radio, and a sermon, a friend, a colleague, whatever, if we stop our ears from hearing, then we have uncircumcised ears. The counterpart would be is if we're willing to listen. That's ears that are open.
Circumcised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want you to go to Exodus 6:12 now, and we're going to look at what it means to have uncircumcised lips. Okay, because he's taking it through, and you'll think these are all the body forms of communication.
Exodus what?
6:12. And so the ears can be stopped up. Now let's see what the lips can do. Okay.
It's funny because it was chapter 6 in the other book.
I know, isn't that funny? Okay. This is 6:12, though.
Okay, but Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips?
Okay, Moses is making excuses, saying, essentially, he's got, you know, I don't have the ability to speak well. If you go in and go through the whole dissertation, and eventually God says to him, Moses, who gave you your mouth?
Yeah.
You know, like, stop it. Okay, how often can we say, but God.
I just had that conversation this morning.
It's so funny. There's no buts with God. Our lips are not to be that way. I mean, literally, he is who gave us our mouth. Mm-hmm. He knitted us in our mother's womb. If there is an opportunity for us to speak, we need to speak, and he will give us what we need to say. And I think we will make it, we get fearful. We can put all kinds of things in the way as if it's, you know, he says, I'm a stutterer, I think one translation says. We can make all kinds of excuses, but reality is God is God, and we are not. And he can undo our lips to declare his praise. I think it's in Luke 176, maybe.
I'll check.
I think it is. It's Luke 176, maybe. I may have it wrong, but it's where Zechariah the priest, his tongue is loosed and he praises God. And
my child will be called the prophet of the Most High.
Yeah. No, that's not it. Is that what it says?
That's 76.
Okay. Let me see if I can find it because it's an awesome where it says, oh, 64. Luke 1:64. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak praising God. And then all the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country in Judea were talking about these things. When our mouth is given to God, he will unleash it, and it will praise him. It will declare him. Mm-hmm. It will not be afraid, and it will not be ashamed. It will pour forth. It will be the kind of person when you sit down in a restaurant and you're with your group of friends, it will speak of God. It will speak of Jesus. It will speak of scripture and will not put a hand up and say, you know, stop when somebody does you know, in that type of setting. The mouth can't help but speak when it has been circumcised, covenanted with God. Mm. And so
unfettered eloquence.
That's it. In Acts, the Amplified, right? Mm-hmm. I love that verse. That's Acts 4. Okay, now let's look at the heart in Jeremiah 9:26. And essentially, with being closed to the mouth, closed in our ears, excuse with our mouth, the key is that we want to open up and say, God, help me to hear, mm-hmm. help me to speak. You know, it just makes me think of the monkeys, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Ask the Lord, let me hear all spiritual truth. Let me speak all spiritual truth. And now let's look at the heart.
This is Jeremiah
9:26.
Jeremiah 9:26. Mm-hmm. It says, Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert and distant places, for all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart.
Mm. Okay, he's listing off the places that their hearts, they're not willing to do with their heart what they need to do. Now you think about, you know, the passage, and I don't know it, maybe you do, Sabrina, it says, let our hearts be a heart of flesh.
Ezekiel.
Thank you.
Ezekiel 10.
Yeah, thank you. And so letting it be where it's evident in mm-hmm. us, where people can see, or in Corinthians where it talks about that I have written upon your heart as if it's a letter, so that all who look at you will read what I've written. Literally, our hearts have to be so open to God that we're willing to let him be the one who writes upon it and what the one who reveals it. Okay, now I want you to go to Genesis 17:11. And in Genesis 17:11, we're going to look at the flesh, or as Sabrina said a couple of weeks ago, our manliness, even though we're women. And the flesh is the other area where we can be uncircumcised before God.
Okay. Genesis 17, you're not going to believe this, but my Bible is...
You're ripped.
Missing.
Okay, well, here, you
it's
take
ripped.
Mine.
I'm sorry.
Her Bible's missing her first few pages. Genesis 17:11. The key with these...
I brought a different Bible.
You did, yeah. The key with it is that he is pointing out how we have to draw near to God. It cannot be just with our ears. Mm-hmm. It has to be our ears and our mouth. It can't be just our ears and our mouth. It has to be our heart. It can't be just our ears and our mouth and our heart. It also has to be the flesh.
Okay, Genesis 17.
11.
11. Okay. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you.
Hmm.
We're
to undergo it. That means in the flesh. So I've been really praying through this because, you know, after I read it, you're held accountable. We said that at the Open Door Mission this past week, and we said, you know, you realize when you hear something, you're held accountable. And one of the men's like, thanks. We really appreciate you telling us that. But once you've heard it, you're held accountable.
Right.
We are held accountable. And so God wants us to take all four areas, the ears, the lips, the heart, and the flesh, and give it over to God. Mm. And so Stephen, as he was looking out at them, he was pointing out Abraham was circumcised. And his sons were circumcised. And it went all the way down through the patriarchs. And then he began to reveal how Israel's prophets, the religious leaders, began to reject them. And as they rejected them, when Christ came and he walked on this earth and he preached and he taught and he healed, they began to reject him to the point where they were so angry they began to plot. And then they went after Jesus and hung him on the cross. And then when he died and he rose from the grave and was ascended and walked on this earth before he was ascended, as he walked on this earth and revealed himself to the disciples and then was ascended, and then when the Spirit came upon the disciples and they began to preach, they continuously rejected and did not circumcise their hearts just like their fathers didn't. And that's what Stephen was saying to them. And that is when they unleashed. That is when they lost all decorum, all aspect of respect, all aspect of what they represented as religious leaders. And that's when the gnashing and the throwing of the cloaks and the running after him and picking up the stones. And literally, they had to, because they didn't stone in the city. They had to take a person outside the city. So it wasn't even their behavior was so out of control that they were dragging him to get him out of the city so that they could do what they were going to do to him. They totally lost everything. Whenever we are acting in a lack of circumcision.
Self-control.
That's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And without that, there's no way, you know. And when we have the fruit of the Spirit, it says there's no law against these.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can stand against a person who's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing. And I'm sitting here and I'm praying, God, you know, he had such peace. Sabrina talked about this at the end last time. He had such peace, such a presence of mind of who you are as a present God with a plan, that regardless of the struggles, there's blessings. So focused on God that when he looked into heaven, he could see Jesus at his right hand and know that he could stand there and peacefully endure what these men were doing to him. And I thought, God, what do we have to do in order to stand and be a person that is so stable in the presence of God that peace be evident in us even as stones are thrown at us? Mm. I'm like, that's huge. And so I'm asking God, you know, I know I do not represent a pillar of peace is what I would almost call Stephen at this point. Mm-hmm. But to get that pillar of peace, we have to go back to what we talked about the first week, and we have to know mm-hmm. the presence of God and how he has revealed himself through history and will continue to reveal himself. So we have to find ways to remind ourselves. Sabrina, what do you do to remind yourself who God is?
Oh, I sit at my keyboard and worship. I mean, that's the song that has been on my heart, which is so funny. You had no idea, but it's called Show Me Your Glory. And this whole week, I have been sitting at my keyboard playing Show Me Your Glory.
I don't know the words. How's the words?
It's just, I see the clouds. I step in. I want to see the glory like Moses did.
Wow. Wow. Can you give us a little bit how it sounds? It like says, sing an actual verse or something.
Show me your glory. Yeah, yeah. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Yeah, yeah. Show me your glory. And then that's the chorus part, but it just talks about to look on the face of the one that I love. Mm. Like that's seeing the glory of God. Like that's what we should desire every day. Mm. And I've just been sitting and playing, and it's just, you can feel his presence and his smile.
And that's all we want. Show me your glory.
Mm-hmm.